You know that the last couple of times I preached through Job, I preached about how Satan, though he had made some awful accusations against Job, to God himself. And Satan was defeated, whipped, embarrassed, shamed. He had to go away with his tail between his legs because Job, God upheld him. And in all the things that he went through, Job sinned not. Sinned not. He did not sin. And we've got an adversary, but our adversary, though he's powerful, our advocate is stronger, more powerful. Our Lord Jesus Christ has already defeated him. Already defeated him. And I tell you, he can't touch us. He can touch you. He can't touch us unless God wills for him to do it. But I'm thankful that we are in the hands of God Almighty. I'm certainly thankful that I'm under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look here in verse 11 and down through verse 13. And I'm going to deal with what we call friends, real, true friends, genuine friends. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they come every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they had lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle, sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. That's a mouthful. They saw that his grief was very great. You know, we lose just a little in this world, and our grief gets very great. But you imagine losing all your wealth, losing all your children, and your wife telling you just go ahead and cuss God, give up your faith and die. And Job didn't do it. Job didn't do it. All Job had been lost. But there were three men who heard of Job's sorrows, heard about Job's losses. Job had lots of acquaintances, most of us do. We know a lot of people have lots of acquaintances. But very, very few people have real, genuine friends. Very few people do. Old Scott Richardson told me one time, sitting in my backyard, he said, if you ever have a real, true friend, you better treat him so well, because a true friend is very hard to come by. We have a lot of fair weather friends, but when it gets in the tough going, when it gets in the real rough going, that's when you find out who your friends are. And Job had been mocked by the children, and he sat here among the ashes. He called his servants and they didn't answer. But here comes three of his friends. And when they got there, you know, the way that the Jews would do, they'd rip their garment up here close to the heart to show how their heart was rent, that it hurt them, it grieved them. And then they'd sit down in the dust and they'd throw dust on their hair. Throw them over, all over, dust all over. To show them that they was amazed, that they was just dirt and dust. And they'd sit down and do that. And then when they sat with him, they sat silently and wept for him for 7 days and 7 nights. Eliphaz, his name means God's strength, my God's strength. That was Bildad and Zophar. These men were true-hearted, true loving, truly loving. But they were religious men. They were devout men. And we'll find out as we go on through the book of Job that with their religion, they would be the most, cause Job the most intense suffering and sharp and great temptations that he would have to endure over these men and their religion. But here we have several things about having a true, genuine friend. And here's the first thing about it. The greater the adversity, the greater the friendship. The greater trouble you have, the greater friend you have. You know, Job's troubles, instead of driving his friends away, they drew to him. Now his wife wasn't for him. His friends, other friends in town weren't for him. His servants wouldn't pay any attention to him. But when they heard about him and they lived far away, they drew near to him. It says there in verse 11, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they lived a long way off and they heard everything that had happened to Job. They heard about Job losing all of his wealth, losing all of his cattle, losing everything he had. Heard about him losing his 10 children. They heard about everything that happened to him, all the evil that came upon him. And then look what it says next. And they came everyone from his own place. Oh my. They came everyone from his own place. They lived in different places. They had homes. They had different places that they lived. They left their homes and hurried to Job's side. His affliction so moved them and had such an effect upon them that they had to go to be with him and to do what they could to comfort him. Adversity is one of the best tests of friendship. When you're going through great trials, heavy, heavy burdens, true friendship, adversity proves true friendship. Oh my. You know, it's like the bees and the birds. They love the flowers, but when the frost comes, they stop. And that's the way false friends are. They'll come around when you got everything's well. But true friends, visit us in prosperity only when invited. But in adversity, when you're in trouble, they come without an invitation. They don't need an invitation to come to your house. Bring something. Bring prayers. Bring their sorrow, bring the grief, and come to be with you through your grief. And look over, keep Job, and look over here in Proverbs 17:7. Proverbs 17:7. Of course, it says about our master. Job 17:17. Look what it says about our Lord Jesus Christ. A friend loveth at all times. I mean, he loves in the morning, he loves in the afternoon, he loves at night, he loves day in, and he loves day out. Once he starts loving you, he loves you all the time. All the time. All the time. And then look what he says. And a brother is born for adversity. There's a brother that's born to go with you through your adversity, through your troubles, through your heartaches, through your heart. And our Lord is the truest friend that you and I have ever had. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and sorrows bear. And I tell you, he's a brother born for our adversity. Sin's adverse. Law's our adversity. Brings us into adversity. Justice brings us into adversity. Sin brings us into adversity. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to save us from all of our adversity. To save us from all that was against us, sin and law and justice. And to save us. And I tell you what He does. Bless His holy name. He stays with us. Through thick and through thin. Whether we're up or whether we're down. Whether we're laughing or whether we're crying. When we're in our bed or when we get up in the morning. Our Lord is with us through everything that we go through. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with them, I'm telling you. And I tell you what, He's with us when the sunshine or the rain. He's with us through our life. And He's with us through death. And He'll be with us through this life. And He'll be with us through our death. That's the kind of Lord we got. What a true friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh my. Not only is a true friend born for adversity, the greater the trouble, the closer the friendship. I mean, listen, then a genuine true friendship is practical. What I mean by that, that it's not just in word. It actually manifests itself. It comes to help. It comes to the rescue. The friendship of these men weren't just a passing sentiment. They said, well, I heard about Job, and bless his heart, I hated for him. We'll pray for him. We'll send him a nice card. We'll tell him we're very, very sorry. But that wasn't the way it was with these men. It was a working force. Grace. The Scriptures tells us faith works. It really, truly works. How does it work? It works by faith. It works by faith. And their love here, this friendship here, was a self-denying work. Now you think about this. These men, they all had homes. Every one of them had a home. Every one of them probably had families. They had work to do. They had things to do. And when they started out traveling in those days, travel was very, very hard. Most men had to walk wherever they went. Every once in a while, somebody was wealthy enough to have a carriage and somebody would drive them. But oh my, travel in those days wasn't easy. And then it says here, down there in verse 11, now when Job's heard these three friends, heard all these things, it says, down in the last line of the verse, they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and comfort him. They had got together. They contacted one another. And they lived far apart. They contacted one another. And they made an appointment to meet up somewhere. And they said, we'll travel together. And they put forth great effort when they heard of our friend's calamities and the things that he went through. You know, Galatians 6:9 says this, be not weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't do it. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. And as much as you're able to, you communicate to them. That means give out to them who are troubled. Oh my. And it says here they came to mourn with him and to comfort him. You know, there's a verse of Scripture. Where is it at? I think it says, weep with them that weep, mourn with them that mourn. They came to comfort him and also to mourn with him. And that's one of the most, you know, sometimes we don't know how to comfort somebody. But just a kind word. Just a gentle word. Just a tender word. just a concern word. Somebody called Shirley the other night and was talking to her, and she said, I appreciate you asking about how I am. I'm thankful that you care about what I'm going through. I'm thankful that you care what I'm going through, that you ask about. And oh my, God comforts those. He comforts those that comfort us, that we may be able to comfort others. Paul had been in jail for 2 years. He appealed to Caesar. Got on a ship. He was on that ship for months. And he had that great storm. And the ship just broke all to pieces. And they were stranded on an island for 3 months on the island of Malta. And he finally got on a ship and he finally got to Italy. And he finally started toward Rome. And there's a place called the Appii Forum. And a whole bunch of brethren heard that Paul was coming. And they went out to meet him. And you know what Paul said? The Scripture says, and Paul took courage when he saw the brethren. Oh, there's some people who love me, care for me. They're here to meet me. He said he was going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer. And they begged him not to go. Said, oh, it's going to be awful what's going to happen to you. And they all knelt down and prayed. He said, they all started weeping. He said, why are you weeping? You're breaking my heart. But they wept for him, for what he's going to go through. Oh, he took courage. And oh, how our Master came to comfort us, to bear our sorrow. And he's well, well, well acquainted with our grief. Look with me over here in Isaiah 61. Our Lord's well acquainted with our grief. He was acquainted with it Himself, and He's well, well, well acquainted with our grief. Our grief. Look what it said here. Our Lord speaking here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Listen to this. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. When your heart's just absolutely broke, and everybody knows what a broken heart is, how your heart's been broken time and time again, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set permanent liberty those that are bound, open you the prison, those that are in prison, prison by sin, prison by law, are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Listen to this now. To comfort all that mourn. You mourn, Christ comforts you. I was with a young man the other night and he just crying like a baby. Just wept and wept and wept over his mama. And oh, he said he come to comfort all that mourn. Now listen to them. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give them beauty for ashes. Job's sitting on the ash heap, rubbing ashes all over himself. God said, I'm going to give you beauty for them ashes one of these days. And Job received twice as much as he had to begin with. And he said, I'm going to give you the oil of joy. You're mourning? I'm going to give you some oil of joy. And you got a spirit of heaviness, I'm going to give you the spirit, for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God may be glorified. That's what the Lord come to do. Comfort us. How many times have we been comforted in the night when we woke up? And oh, how our Master come to comfort us in our sorrow. He is well, well, well acquainted with our grief. And let me tell you this in verse 12. True friendship, real friendship, is vicariously afflicted What I mean by that you actually enter, you suffer with them. You actually enter into their sufferings with them. Look what it says there in verse 12. And when they lifted up their eyes, and they stood yet way afar off, and they saw Job sitting there. And they knew him not. Said, that's not Job. There's no way that can be Job. That's not my friend. That's not the way I remember him. I've never seen him look so bad. That's not the way he was. He used to be healthy. Had a smile. Had a wonderful countenance. And now we can't even recognize him. They knew him now. They don't look. Can't possibly be Job. And you see somebody dying and you watch them wither away and they go from somebody you can't pick up to you can pick them up with your arms and tear them around. I don't look like them. I went to see my daddy when he was sick. It didn't look like my daddy. It didn't look like him. Oh, I said, this is no way that's my dad. But he's laying there skin and bones. And he outweighed me by 50 pounds. And oh, listen. When they lifted up their eyes and knew him not, listen what else happens now. When they said, oh, that can't possibly be Job. And then they lifted up their voice. And they began to weep. I believe you could hear them weeping. I believe you could hear them mourning. I can believe you could hear all three of them were just weeping and weeping and weeping as they drew close to Job. I mean, the tears were streaming down their face. They saw Job and they said, oh, Job. Oh, Job. How come? I'm so sorry, Job. And they didn't even know him. Oh, they knew it was Job, but he looked so different. Oh my, they saw death and they saw afflictions all over him. They saw sores all over him. He's sitting down in the ashes. And oh my. Oh, listen. And then it says, look what else it says. They got to him and they ripped their mantle. They ripped their coat that they had on, ripped it, and sat down beside him and got dust. Start throwing it on them. Oh, showing how mournful they are. How heartbreaking they are. What a shape that this Job is such a sad state. Oh my, he was real, real soul suffering. When they saw Job in his real condition and knew him not, oh, they said, it's much worse than I heard. I heard, but oh, it's so much worse than I heard. They were so moved, their hearts so hurt, that they truly, truly suffered with Job. I tell you, the more we love, the more we suffer with those that are suffering. You know, suffer with them vicariously. You take a mother, and her child gets sick. Gets feverish. Gets real sick. That mother suffers so with that child. That mother hurts with that child. That mother within a moment, she loves that child so much that she said, oh Lord, let it be me, not her. Let it be me, not them. Because they love that child so much that they can't bear to see it sick. And that's what the mother's heart and soul feels. Feels it. Huh? Look in Isaiah 63. Let me show you something here. Me and Bruce was looking at this last week. We was talking about being afflicted and the different things. But look what it says here about our blessed Lord. Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them in his love. And in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. So our Lord, he feels. And here's these men. They were suffering. They suffered for one another. And that word vicarious means suffer for another who had no reason to suffer. And you know our Lord Jesus suffered vicariously for us. He had no reason to suffer. He had no sin. So when he suffered, he had to be suffering for someone else. And then genuine, true friendship is tender and quiet. And look what it says, verse 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground. They just sat down with him. They saw, oh my goodness, they saw that his grief was great. And they sat down there on the ground, it says 7 days and 7 nights. That's a long time. 7 days and 7 nights. And you know what it says here? And none spake a word unto him. Nobody said a word. What could they have said to Job? What would they have possibly said? Job, I've lost children so I can identify with it. I've lost my wealth so I can identify with it. No, they had everything that Job didn't have. But they were silent, never said a word. Why were they silent? Well, I think they were silent, first of all, because they were amazed at the condition that Job was in. They were so astonished that they couldn't speak. Oh, Job. And oftentimes we're silent because we don't know what to say at such a time. We don't know what to say. What are you going to say? What could you have said to Job? What could you say to a man that lost everything he had? When you lose somebody exceptionally close to you, there's nothing anybody can say to comfort you. The only comfort you'll ever get comes from Christ. And you'll have brothers and sisters that they love you, they'll weep with you, and they'll pray for you, and they'll hug you, and they'll leave tears on your shirt. They'll leave tears on your shoulder. But oh, sometimes we just don't know what to say. Have you ever said that? I don't know what to say. If I say anything, it'll be the wrong thing. Sometimes because our emotions choke us up so much that we can't speak. We're so choked up, we can't speak. Our emotions got us so choked up, we can't speak. And why are these men, these three friends of Job, silent? Probably for every one of those reasons that I mentioned. But there's wisdom in silence. Their tears, written their mantles, sprinkling dust on their heads, their sobs, their sighs. These express the profoundest sympathy that words could never express. And you know how our Lord expressed His love toward us? He sweat great drops of blood. Left alone to do everything he did. Left alone. And sometimes when you don't know what to say, the best thing to say is nothing. And silence oftentimes is the best service that a friendship can render when a person's in sorrow. Silence oftentimes is the strongest evidence of the depth of a friendship toward a suffering friend. You just sit with them. Just sit with them. Just be there. Just be in there. Just be in there. And I tell you, silence is most consistent with our ignorance of God's providence towards our dear, dear friends. We don't know what God's doing with them. And we got no reason to tell them. And silence is the best because of the mental state that some of them are going through. You don't know what their mental state is. We don't know what the state of mind of our suffering friend is. And we may say something that makes their suffering even worse than it already is. And I certainly wouldn't want to put a burden on somebody that's got enough to carry, would you? You wouldn't want to say something to make it worse. Well, let me close telling you a little story. There's two brothers. One of them bought himself a new bicycle. Made him a little money and bought himself a new bicycle. His little brother just loved that bicycle. He said, "Well, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you." There's two little brothers standing beside. They stood by. And one of them said, "I sure wished I had a brother like that." And the other one said, "I wished I was a brother like that." And that's the way I'd like to have a friend like these, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But instead of having a friend like them, I'd love to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Well, I pray the Lord, God, make us true friends. Make us real friends. Make us people that suffer with one another, weep with one another, and mourn with one another. And when you ain't got nothing to say, just hug them, kiss them, and let it be a goal. Let it be that. That's all you need to do sometimes. That's all it takes. Our Father, oh, our Father, oh, to be a friend like Job's friends, to be one who can actually enter in to what other people go through. But Lord, so many times I don't, because my heart's so hard, my heart's so cold, so consumed with self and my own feelings, my own concerns. Oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. But God, make us all true brethren, true friends, lovers of one another more than lovers of ourselves, and especially lovers of Christ instead of lovers of herself. Please be with us and keep us. And again, we pray for Joyce, Debbie and Jim, Bruce and Joe, and others who we may not know what they're going through, but Lord, you do. And we pray for those, oh Lord, in Christ's blessed name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in the hymn book to 354. And we'll sing this and you'll be at liberty to go. 354. Let's stand together. You know what this is? What a friend. What a friend. Okay. Oh my.
all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so Jesus knows our every weakness. Oh Lord, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, listen. In His arms, He'll take you and shield you. Oh, my. Now we'll find. Find a solace there. God bless you. I'll see you Wednesday, God willing.